Yeah.
Zach and Seth, I just found out something about Chris Rock today.
It's weird that you said both of our names there, but yeah, go on.
Yeah.
It's because this is an interest that both of you share with me, not just one of you.
Oh, okay.
Wait, can I guess what the interest is?
Yeah, remember, Chris Rock is involved. That's what made me think of this.
Dogma. So,
rocks?
Okay, so it turns out that...
Well, there's the cold open.
Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
I forgot my Necco wafers. I was going to put Necco wafers on my eyes, and I forgot about it.
That's neither here nor there. But
All right, so really quick, welcome back to Fake Movies, episode 272. Hold up. Seth.
Yeah.
I need to ask you a question about Necco wafers.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, the Choco Necco wafers are the best Necco wafers, right?
Oh, hard disagree.
I really like the pink ones that are theoretically spearmint flavored.
Yeah.
Okay.
The chocolate ones taste the most, or the least like a Necco wafer. And I think I prefer the chalkiness. I want the full experience.
Okay, so this really throws a wrench in my whole question.
If you're going to town, go into Chalk Lincoln. Like, come on. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so my thing is, I always grew up thinking, and maybe it's because this is me and my dad's preference, that Choco were the best Necco wafer. And then at one point, they started selling all chocolate Necco wafer sleeves. But what I was going to ask is, is it just me, or do the all chocolate Necco wafers not taste as good as the Necco wafer chocolate Lucy's that you get in the regular Neccos?
I suspect because they haven't had a mélange with the other flavors.
I think
mélange de fake.
That and also, it's like, you know, if you had a thing of Starburst that only had the pink ones in it, you have to have the other ones to.
They
set
do
you
sell
up.
That now too.
Sure,
you're
sure,
right,
sure.
But
yeah.
Like,
but
I need a red every once in a while.
You need the other one so that the chocolate one is a nice treat. Well, I think that's the thing. Yeah.
It's this is like why I don't like the watermelon Sour Patch Kids because it's too much of one thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes.
You need the juxtaposed flavors in order to, you know.
Yeah.
So this is good. This is actually really good information. In this podcast, we all love Necco wafers, which is not a thing that I think a lot of people agree with.
Yeah. That's weird.
So and obviously candy hearts are exactly the same thing, right? Like,
in a lot of ways, yeah.
They scratch the same itch, for sure.
They're made by Necco. They were at one point.
Different flavor profile, and it's different.
They're a little more like fruit infused.
But they are polarizing, and you are wrong if you don't like them.
Well, for instance, like there is no chocolate flavored candy heart. There is
no that's true.
Licorice flavored candy heart. There's probably still clove because for some fucking reason people loved putting clove candy in.
I love that the past was so committed to having unpleasant candy flavors and that some of them have
My mom does clove candy so
much. That fucking lavender gum or whatever that does not taste like lavender.
The tea berry gum?
Tea berry, yeah. My mom loves this shit. And I'm like, she's like, it tastes just like lavender. And I'm like, it does not taste like lavender.
It tastes like garbage from my
shoe. Tastes like somebody sprayed bad perfume in your mouth. And I don't get it, but okay.
My dad is still a big Sen person, which is like the same principle as this shit.
That's concentrated licorice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I like licorice.
Same.
I don't like. That's too much for me.
Yeah.
That's a bridge too far.
Why didn't Big League Chew ever come out with a licorice version where you could just tuck a bunch of licorice into your?
And it would look like tobacco. You could get out a 6-year-old lipper in there. Yeah.
I mean, Big League Chew now kind of looks like that. That's the whole idea, right?
Well, yeah. Except it's like bubble gum. So unless, like, I guess your gums are already rotting and then are painting the pink thing black.
Yeah. You don't get the cool tobacco aesthetic. That's true.
Yeah. You know, I never got into chewing tobacco. It seems like it'd be my kind of thing, though.
I tried it. let's say, 3 times. And as a lover of all things Vice, it is disgusting. Yeah. So gross.
There is a snooze. Snooze might be.
I did snooze in college with a friend I had at the time, and it's a little better, but yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think we should start snorting snuff? Like, bring that shit back?
Where do you get that? The time? The past?
A tobacco shop, I assume, right?
I don't think you can get snuff anymore.
Yeah.
There was one of my I guess classmates in Russia had a bottle that he carried around Russia and was chewing all the time, and I was like, we're on the fucking train, Connor, come on, man.
Like, smoking cigarettes is disgusting, but like spitting brown saliva into a thing that you carry around is so gross,
like all the time, whereas cigarettes, there's a time and a place, and it's outside of the bar / metro / down the street.
I think you're right. It's cigarettes are just offensive enough that you can't do it all the time. And that's a good thing, for sure.
Yeah. The thing about cigarettes, though, is like, we are the last generation of people who grew up at a time when people smoked indoors regularly.
Sure.
And I gotta say, if that never went away, I don't think I would have stopped.
Oh, like, we'd be smoking right now.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I love smoking. I hate smoking outside. All I want to do is smoke inside. That's all I care about, is smoking indoors.
I liked getting bundled up and smoking my pipe outside when I was in Russia in the winter.
Yeah.
I'd sit there something in refreshing in my giant ritual. Hat, yeah. And I was just like sitting there and smoke my pipe for a while and then go in, and then my house mother would yell at me.
Right.
But I remember like moving in with roommates
and then
in college.
Told me that I couldn't make tea on the stove because my hands were too large and muscular and would break the knobs off of the stove. Which is the opposite of true.
Compliment, I guess. I don't
know. No, she wouldn't let me touch anything in the kitchen because she said I was too masculine and would just destroy the kitchen.
Like, she gave you like ropey gymnast muscles, I guess.
Yeah, you had to drink out of a plastic Slurpee cup because she thought you were just gonna like squeeze to death the glass.
Just gonna shatter all the glasses.
No, not again!
You press a fork into some meat and just bend it in half into the plate.
You go to cut the meat and you saw her table in half accidentally.
Oops! Oh, Seth Smash! Oh no!
Oh, Marina Vladimirovna, wherever you are. It's a really common name.
Russia, I assume, right?
If she's still alive, which I honestly
or dead,
know.
Still.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah. Anyway, what do we do on this podcast?
Who fucking cares? Right, we enough. Fake
drink,
movies.
Drink milk and rum, I guess.
I'm drinking a rum cow. Loving it.
I'm drinking
I'm having a bachelor night, so I can fart as much as I want in the bed, only the cats are here to be upset about it.
And they can't speak English, so your secret's safe.
I'm convinced that they can, and when I truly need it, they will.
Now, what do their voices sound like? Is it like?
I mean, they both
angelic?
Sound exactly the. They both sound exactly the same because I'm not creative enough to come up with multiple voices. You know.
Well, I imagine that Scout sounds like Tom Waits. And,
interesting. I don't get that at all. But go on.
I see that
Butch
as a Butch
sounds
kinda.
Like. Who is that other guy we were talking about a little bit ago? Luke.
Captain Beefheart.
Yeah.
So they do sound the same. Okay.
They sound similar in many ways.
Or
yeah.
maybe Butch sounds like Lou Ferrigno.
I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
She's
beefy. I've
been watching a lot of Conan clips online, and he used to do a thing called Weird Satellite Channels, and one of the sketches, it was the Tom Waits as an office temp channel, and it was just a guy doing a Tom Waits voice talking about like very mundane office tasks. But he did everything to the tune of Martha, my favorite Tom Waits song, and I'm sitting there taking a shit watching this video, and I just start crying because I start thinking about the song Martha, and it's like, what is wrong with me? Like, something's wrong, truly wrong with me.
That's one of those, this moment has never happened and will never happen again in the history of humanity. That's nice when you get
when you cry on the toilet, Is there is that a term for that? Like a slumpkin or something?
Oh.
Like a sad...
a wetkin. It's a sogkin.
Sogkin, Mike. Yeah, might be it. Sogkin is when you get out of the shower and don't sufficiently dry off, but you have to take a shit really bad.
Oh, and you get the moisture barrier between you and the toilet seat.
And imagine if it were a squishy toilet seat from the past.
That's a rough one. I was assuming a sodkin is when you're taking a shit outside and you like don't even dig a hole or anything. You're just right there on the sod.
You pull up a flap of the sod and then you flap it back down when you're out.
Speaking of a strip of sod and flap it.
Yeah.
And then you take a shit on sod.
You do the job well done with your hands and then walk into the future.
Speaking of shitting on sod, we recently switched the cats over to like pellet litter, that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I heard when I saw your partner in the place that I live now the other day.
The place I used to live that I think about every day constantly.
Yeah.
Oh. And my heart hurts always. And I gotta say, it really changed my life because they shit and piss on it without any complaints, mm-hmm. and my house isn't covered with little litters everywhere all the time anymore.
That is nice. Yeah.
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 I wish I did this 11 fucking years ago.
Yeah. Litter tech has come a long way. It's true. Yeah.
It's true. So that was shit talk.
Killed it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
we're a podcast. We fake movies sometimes and stuff.
Yeah.
Marielle is our good friend who puts in a lot of work to make us better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And
we need to work out a thank you to Marielle that doesn't involve the departed Twitter.
I think it's tolerance of just all of our bullshit. I think it's that. Mostly.
I mean, I've been dropping a lot of like crazy four weddings and a funeral things into that chat all like for the last 2 days.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She rolls with it. She indulges, which is, mm-hmm. you know, the kindest thing a human can do. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's great and we thank her. But she's not here this week. And who is here this week? Uh-oh, it's Seth and he's faking a movie.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah. I'm faking a movie this week.
Yep.
Right, and so it's called Loverboy.
Reasonable title. Yep.
And
like that Canadian band.
That's what I was thinking of first, actually. But anyway, the actors you gave me were Patrick Dempsey, mm-hmm. Kirstie Alley, mm-hmm. Carrie Fisher, Robert mm-hmm. Picardo, which I was very excited about.
Yeah, I knew you would like that.
Yep.
Yeah,
I was like, is he going to know that? And Lee was like, Star Trek. I was like, okay.
Yeah, you could put Vincent Schiavelli in there and be like, he was in that one episode of season one.
Yeah. See, I love Vincent Schiavelli because he's in Better Off Dead and mm-hmm. Ghost.
And
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. But
right.
mm-hmm. yeah.
yeah.
Also, he had Marfans, just like Lincoln maybe had.
Oh.
Yeah. That's true. Anyway, Patrick Dempsey, Kirstie Alley, Carrie Fisher, Robert Picardo, and you also gave me, in parentheses, maybe Rita Wilson,
That was all Zach.
Or am I?
That was all Zach. She's not in the movie.
I had literally just done the My Life in Ruins one where we had also done this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's not in the movie?
Okay.
No, don't say it like that. She's not in the movie.
Yeah.
Seth, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm not fucking around. Like, she is not in the movie.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that.
We sure will.
Okay. So sort of the format of this one is going to be a little odd because I'm going to have like a short version sort of summarizing it all and then a longer version.
Oh, you have an IMDb of your own. Okay.
Yeah, kind of. Okay, so.
Presumptuous.
Here we are. Once upon a time, in a faraway tide pool, lived a crab named Patrick Dempsey, whose precious solitude is suddenly shattered by an invasion of annoying ocean-dwelling characters.
So many question marks.
Shrek?
They were all banished from their kingdom by the evil Lord Robert Picardo. Yeah, oh, you're okay. Just doing Shrek, okay. You son of a bitch.
All
along,
right.
Along with his sidekick, a talking starfish.
Oh my
named
god.
Carrie Fisher. Wait, wasn't he also a starfish? Oh. Are they both starfish? Patrick Dempsey is determined to save their home and his tide pool? Patrick Dempsey makes
you're
a deal
such an
with
asshole.
Robert Picardo and sets out to rescue the princess. Kirstie Alley to be Robert Picardo's bride. Rescuing the princess may be small compared to her deep, dark secret.
Okay, like 90 minutes ago, I literally asked which Indiana Jones movie you're going to do this time, and is it The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? Mm-hmm. And then you wrote fucking Shrek.
I have a real movie. I was just going to say,
because like, not to be rude, but if your real movie was actually just Shrek, I would say, can we just skip it?
No, I did write a real one. I just wanted to give you the goof. And
you wanted to give us a Shrek. Yeah.
This is the best of all worlds. Perfect job. Okay. Great, 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 great stuff. Yeah.
So
yeah, 10 out of 10. Great effort. Yeah.
I was going to do the Wikipedia summary, but it's just so long. Like, it would take so long
Shrek.
Yeah,
right,
for me
yeah.
to be like, Patrick Dempsey is an antisocial and highly territorial crab who lives in the solitude of his tide pool, fending off mobs and enjoying some privacy. His life is
interrupted. Yeah, you said you weren't
going to
do it, and now you are.
Robert
we
Picardo.
Get the idea. Yeah.
Seems like you had it all written down, which is very confusing. So.
Yeah, it seems like... Yeah, I did. Hmm. I did write it okay. down.
So wait, is
and
the goof...
I typed it. I didn't copy and paste it.
Yeah,
I typed it.
Is the goof now that you told us you're going to do an action movie and then you're just going to do Shrek?
I got one, and it's weirdly long, so get ready for that. All
right. So it's Shrek 2 then. All right.
Shrek 2, yeah. Shrek 3 is the weirdly long one, and it's just because there's no life in it at all.
Yeah, it sucks.
Oh. All right.
Anyway, Patrick Dempsey is a hot and sexy scientist and inventor from Spain. And he also has like a really thick accent in all of this, like the whole movie. And he's like constantly peppering his dialogue with little Spanish words and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I noticed you've kept the Mike Myers in the heart of your movie, even though it's not Shrek.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if Patrick can pull this off, though.
Yeah,
that
it
seems like a reach for
have
him.
To
yeah.
be good, but, okay. You know. So he's this hot and sexy inventor, but he's really not very good at it. And Robert Picardo is the executive who runs the evil corporation that that Patrick works for. And he's like Robert Picardo is also undeniably, obviously evil. He comes into Patrick's lab and says things like, "Where are the specs for my new orphan smashing machine?" or how's the freshwater letification project going?
Sure. Yeah.
Know.
Now, at any point, nose. does he have sex with the lady gremlin? Which is what I know Robert Picardo mostly from.
This is a fun new game within the podcast. Yeah, guess the movie in the movie. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Patrick is like really bad at inventing, and I said that. But everyone is so charmed by his accent and his dreamy eyes, cheekbones, chin, ears, hairline, eyebrows, nose, skin, pores, 5 o'clock
Seems
shadow,
like
and
added a lot of
butt,
unnecessary details. Yeah,
among
yeah.
other traits, I'm sure.
He is the current people's sexiest man alive,
which is not why we picked to do this movie.
Yeah, I think I was telling wife of the podcast this because she was a big Grey's Anatomy fan, and she said he had been
20
this,
years ago.
Yeah, well, right, yeah, when it was still in season 5.
Sure.
Apparently, he had also won before. She thought so. He's been sexiest man twice within like decades of each other.
I feel like George Clooney did that.
I'll
too.
Look it up.
Well, he's an undeniably sexy man.
Clooney.
Yeah. Sure. I'm honestly, so I looked up Patrick Dempsey in the year of our Seth 2023, and he is a fucking hot piece.
Yeah,
he looks great.
Oh, he's a good looking man.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying, and that's kind of integral to my movie.
Okay.
Well, the headline for his People's Sexiest Man is Patrick Dempsey is finally People's Sexiest Man.
He might have been runner up before.
It's just in her mind, probably.
Just like run her up.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Patrick's lab partner is Carrie Fisher, who is, you know, pretty competent, and but also, like, scatterbrained. Like, she's, like, constantly eating her lunch in the lab and, you know, mixes things up, but is still, like, reasonably successful at making these blights to mankind that the boss man requires.
Sure.
You know, but of course she has moral quandaries about it because it's Carrie Fisher. And
every movie needs a compass. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see lots
like
of...
all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Sure. Yeah.
Do they all have that dumb compass?
Yeah, compass points to whatever Jack's heart desires.
That's number 3 and maybe 4.
That's number 2. I just watched most of number 2 and turned it off because I couldn't with it anymore.
Yeah, agreed. I did that like a couple months ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, this will be fun. And then 10 minutes in, you're like, I fucked up so bad.
It's like, wow, 20 minutes of racist Caribbean cannibalism stuff. Great.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
fun. Very fun stuff.
Which, by the way, there is zero verifiable reliable evidence that any Caribbean peoples were ever cannibals. Yeah, there has been cannibalism in the history of humanity, but never in the Caribbean.
I think that was what my brain defaulted to. Yes.
Yep. Okay. So we see lots of little like stories about Patrick and Carrie working in the lab where they like are making failed inventions in ways that are anyway beneficial.
Is and Patrick being... good as well? Is he also
yeah,
more
yeah,
good?
Yeah, he's okay. Good natured. He's just, you know, kind of dumb and pretty.
Ah, okay.
Gotcha. So they all of their attempts to make anything that's in any way beneficial to humanity fail, and then they're successful in whatever evil garbage Robert Picardo tells them to do. And it's like mostly it's like little irritating things, but like not overtly super evil. But like I have a list of some of the things that they did, and they all have Spanish titles. So like Patrick Dempsey always refers to them in the Spanish. So we have yodo, which is iodine. Yeah, they make an iodine that hurts a little more when it sterilizes a womb.
Why not?
Yeah. They have yucca, which is, you know, yucca, but they breed a yucca plant that can never be processed into like food like cassava, and just like anyone who eats it just has diarrhea forever.
Sure.
That's more than a little.
Yeah, that was
annoying.
That was pretty rough.
Yeah, that's like two steps down from we didn't rebury the maniac, so it's full poison instead of tapioca.
Yeah, pretty much. They have yeso, which is which is like plaster or gypsum. It's like gypsum board, and they make a building material that sort of breaks down after a single year in a wall, so it constantly has to be replaced. But it is dirt cheap, so like shitty building companies use it all the time in low income housing.
Landlord special, yeah,
yeah, uh-huh. Yep.
There's yedra, which is a breed of it's the word for ivy. One of the words for ivy, also called hiedra. In certain accent or certain regionalities, but it's a breed of ivy that just strangles trees to death with like surprising efficiency.
Pulls the mortar out of brick houses and stuff, like even
and,
better.
Yeah. And then the last one is yogurt, which is a kind of yogurt that is just a little too runny.
Yeah, you have to keep on the spoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That is benign but annoying. Well done.
Yeah. That's truly an upsetting thing though. Like yogurt where the consistency is different than you expect it to be is one of the more upsetting like sensations I can think of.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. So Picardo is sort of starting to get wise to all of this and how Patrick is not really competent. And he really dislikes Patrick. Probably because he has hair and, you know, that's
hot. And he's the sexiest man alive.
So Picardo sort of hatches a plan to finally prove that Patrick Dempsey is a shitty inventor and only gets by on his irresistible handsomeness and, you know, needs to be fired. So Picardo assigns Dempsey a huge project, huge and evil, and not just irritating, but like really evil, like designing a food decycling machine where it completely destroys and obliterates any excess food or food waste or new infrastructure for sustainable farming or like used oils or, you know, the dumpster.
So it's like a reverse, like it's the reverse of like a composting situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just completely destroys, you know, like crop diversification plans and anything that can really help with global food security in any way.
And then so, the byproduct is things that destroy the ozone layer. Or something
yeah,
like.
Uh huh. Yeah, no,
just
it's
go
just,
for broke
it's,
on that
it's,
one.
It's yeah. all. It's,
remember how we as a society were like, oh shit, we're destroying the ozone layer, and everybody's like, okay, yeah, let's not use the same kind of hairspray anymore, and everybody was chill with that. And now when we say, hey, there's this virus, all you have to do is get a free shot, everybody says, no, I won't do that.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
I remember. Anyway, the decycler. The food decycler completely destroys all of this, and the working title of it is the complete and perpetual limitation to all legitimate insecurity safety measures, or capitalism for short.
Okay. I was like, I assume you're going for Loverboy, but I can't make it out of those letters.
My brain couldn't move fast enough either. Yeah. Well done. I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so Patrick and Carrie start to work on this, on planning this project, but like keep falling short of ideas because they're not inherently evil monsters. But they like really have no idea what to get done, and also, you know, they don't want to. And so they brainstorm and nothing works. And before they know it, it's the day of the big like meeting where they have to present their proposal to the owner of the company, Kirstie Alley. And they still like have obviously no fucking idea. And so they come to the meeting, they're all dejected, whilst Robert Picardo is sort of smirking in the corner, you know, being shitty. And Patrick sort of fumbles around and tries to and ha and, you know, mumbling. And Kirstie finally says, well, spit it out, lover boy.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick, in his irresistible Latin accent, says, that's it. The project is called Lover Boy. And then he proceeds to just pull out of his ass ad hoc, like a presentation about this huge new evil thing that will completely, you know, destroy food security.
Destabilize the earth. Yeah.
But it's nice. Like absolutely passionate bullshitting. Sure. And of course, like Kirstie Alley like gets real flustered by all this, and when Patrick is presenting his idea and agrees to give him
Can she like fan herself and go, "Hi, Dios mío."
Yeah, I think she has to in this situation. and you know, is like, here is all of the funding. And Robert Picardo is, you know, seating in the corner. So now Patrick and Carrie have a plan that they'll work out on the project, but they're being all like hush hush about it. Like Robert Picardo keeps like trying to stop by and peer through the windows of their lab and see what they're working on, and you know that he could never see anything. And finally, you know, it's the big day of the unveiling, and you know all the mucky mucks are gathered there, and you know after a lot of ado, Patrick and Carrie like raise the curtain on the stage to reveal a small figure, about 3 feet tall or so, humanoid with Rita Wilson's face.
Ah, there we go.
I was going to ask if it was the Lady Gremlin.
Nope, it's Rita Wilson because it's one of the actors you gave me.
Yep.
And the crowd is silent until Patrick shouts, "Lover, boy," which Lover means see it. Uh-huh. You see it, right, in Spanish.
Imperative see. Yeah.
See it, boy. It's not imperative, actually. It's infinitive, but that's fine. So,
listen, I'm not a linguist. I don't fucking
know. Listen, Zach, you could have not.
I know. I regretted it second I said it.
Seth is a linguist and it speaks Spanish. Like, yeah. You could have not. Like,
hey, I took Spanish last 22 years ago, so.
Yeah. So he's like, Lover, boy. And it's boy is a biologico organismo yoda, yogur, yuca, yerra, and yesa. All of those crappy, awful inventions. So by combining all of those awful projects together, they transformed them into boy, which will solve all of our problems. Suddenly.
A sort of Captain Planet of the
kind of.
Evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
suddenly. Boy's Rita Wilson shaped eyes open, and it
vaguely Greek eyes. Yeah, okay,
and it bounds into the crowd and just starts killing so so many rich white people in, nice. In very creative ways.
I was going to say, I had to assume that there was some comeuppance involved in this plan. Yeah.
And as the flames rise from the evil corporation burning to the ground around them, and we see the fire dancing in Patrick Dempsey's eyes, we see him smile a little grin, and a little tear rolls down his face, and he whispers, "Loer, boy." And we cut to black.
Wow.
It's kind of, it's not like Megan, but it's not like Megan either.
You know what it's not like? The movie Shrek. And I appreciate that.
You know, somebody once told me.
Yes, indeed. The biggest difficulty with this actually is I had the like Lover idea, like
sure.
it to see.
Oh, and you work backwards like a mystery writer,
like then, bad Tarantino.
but like I could find Spanish words for B and O very easily. There are plenty of cognates. There are not that many like Spanish words that start with the letter Y.
You could have went with I.
But the title. Was Lover boy?
Yeah, I know, but like yeah. I spell boy with an I.
Well, like a
like
skater
all,
boy.
All people yeah. that speak Spanish or yeah, something.
Uh-huh.
No, like all cool kids, you know, like you know, send yeah. shoot off an email to the government and be like, boy,
sup boys,
sup boy, you play a good game, boy.
Anyway, it was a problem because there are only maybe 15 commonly used words in Spanish that, so I really had to, I had to dig deep from my iodine, yogurt, yucca, ivy, and plaster for this.
You know what?
Sure.
Admirable that you really dug it out on that one.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and you
yeah,
know what? You,
I like
your
it.
Your turnaround time was truly impressive.
Oh,
say that.
A tight 23 minutes. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Just like Michael Jordan, he's the GOAT at 23.
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. crazy. Yeah. Anyway, that...
just like Jim Carrey, the number 23 will follow you around.
Sure.
Hey, I rewatched both Mask movies recently.
Okay. First of all, yes, I have rewatched The Mask with you in the last 2 years. Still fun.
Yeah,
I don't
The
care.
Mask is actually still reasonably fun.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I really want to point out, uh-huh. and this is what's really sticking in my craw. You use the phrase rewatch in reference to Son of Mask, the Jamie Kennedy movie, implying that you've seen it before.
Yes, I have. Actually,
it's every November 14th, you look at your Google calendar and you're like, ah, oh, it's fucking Son of the Mask Day. God damn it.
Oh, God damn it. It's Jamie Kennedy's birthday. I guess I got X'd.
Yeah, it's either I watch all of Project X or Son of the Mask again.
Yeah, so here's the problem. The last time I watched it, I was so incredibly drunk.
Great call.
No shit.
Good start. Yeah.
that I didn't remember literally any piece of it.
Perfect.
Again, no shit.
I think I was probably asleep for at least the middle portion. And you know
what?
Oh,
that's a classic Lee move when watching a movie with a group.
You know, here's the biggest problem with Son of the Mask. The dude only
puts,
well, Jamie Kennedy only wears the mask twice in the entire film.
Oh.
Kid wears the mask a bunch,
no.
right?
No.
Is it the dog?
The dog does wear the mask. Jamie Kennedy, while wearing the mask, has sex with Jamie Kennedy's wife. And that progeny is half mask. So the mask raped Jamie Kennedy's wife.
Oh,
wow.
And
it's just like in Multiplicity.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And Roger Rabbit, Mario, Hoskins. Hoskins plays Odin in that movie alongside
Odin.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. At least doing the timeout symbol, and I could not agree more.
Okay. So in the mask, it's established that it's a mask of Loki.
Yeah,
so that's fine. Yeah. Like we get that. That's okay.
Oh.
The Odin thing doesn't bother me. The Bob fucking Hoskins is in Son of Mask.
Yeah. Bob fucking Hoskins plays Odin in Mask, who is the father, obviously, of Alan Cummings.
Is Alan Cumming Loki?
Yeah, of course.
Oh. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's actually good
he's
casting.
Yeah, he's a really good Loki.
Yeah, that works for me a lot. Yeah,
yeah it does. That was the only bright spot in one of the darkest times in my life recently.
Yeah, you should stop doing that. That's not a good thing to
do. I can't. Every November 14th, I have to.
Well, in traditional fashion, there's got to be a way to break the curse. We just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, that's true. You guys know how I do my whole thing is impression-wise, is I like to do micro-impressions where I find, like, a phrase or a word, and that's my whole impression.
For Fighters! Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like, exactly.
For Bob Hoskins, is it you taking a shower, like, super hot like you did in that one movie?
Oh, it can be.
It's a weird silent impression, but...
Yeah. It's hard to get, like, people I don't know that well to, like, follow me to my bathroom, though, and watch me lather up.
Guys, it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. Wait, no, why are you leaving?
Have you ever seen The Long Good Friday, guys? You haven't. Here, watch this video while the water heats up, because it's a really old water heater. No, it's my my Alan Cumming micro impression is Alan Cumming in Eyes Wide Shut when he's working.
I don't remember that either. He's like a maitre d' or something. Yeah,
he's a concierge. Yeah. He works as a concierge, and he plays a guy who came to work while still rolling on ecstasy so well in that movie.
Oh, right.
And
yeah, that's he could do that. I buy that. Yeah.
And Cruz comes into the room and he's asking questions about Nick Nightingale, you know, the inventor of Big League Chew / director of Tar. He's asking questions
also with
and
a
he's like
weird noir name.
Nick Nightingale is such a great name.
Did Bradley Cooper pay him in that most recent thing? Hat on a hat.
So my Alan Cumming impression is in that scene, Tom Cruise, you know, he asks him all these questions. He shows him his doctor's ID because that's how he gets all of his stuff. He's like, by the way, I'm a doctor.
He's
and he shows
a doctor,
people his ID.
Honey.
Mm-hmm. And Cumming looks at it and he goes, well... Bill, that is my whole Alan Cumming impression.
You need the facial expressions. I don't think the audio quite does that
justice.
It
was pretty
good. The facial expressions and the hand motions, because you really get the idea that this man is on drugs and wants to fuck Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
I thought it was going to be another silent impression, and it was just you face waterfalling Tom Cruise. Just a slow touch.
You even tried face waterfalling on the camera before. I like it. I have to remember to do that next time we're on a big old Zoom call with everybody.
Hey, boss, good to see you. Face waterfall.
So tell me about this actual movie.
All
right, IMDb cuts off in the middle. Let me go to the big one. Randy is an unfocused 20 is still unfocused after 2 years in college. When his dad refuses to keep paying his tuition, he gets a job delivering pizzas. Several alluring cougars pay him $200 for pizza delivery and quote-unquote services rendered. As for their husbands, period, end of thing. I don't know.
Wow.
Okay. This is not surprising, given how little information exists about this movie in the universe.
That's true.
Yeah.
Seth, this is an 80s movie.
Uh-huh.
Was it 89?
1989.
Yeah,
just scooped it
like
in.
Like a horny 80s movie.
So I'll say this.
With
last
their
week,
husband.
Last...
Period.
We did Blind Fury last week, which felt like which was an 80s movie that to me feels like a movie that's like branching into 90s shitty action.
Yeah, because it was also 89, I believe. So
right.
Sure.
This is an 80s movie that feels like it's looking backwards into the 80s, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like all right.
In so many ways. Yeah.
And much like last week of Blind Fury, where I pointed out how for me 80s movies are so plot thin but incident heavy that I have a very hard time giving a short description.
Right.
I was practicing giving a short summary of this movie all week long, and I don't know that I can, so I'm going to do my best.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I feel like not much happened in this movie, but yeah.
But
okay.
Maybe a million things happen.
Well, that's the thing, is a million little things happen to get nowhere is the problem. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like... Dempsey is in college. He's a little punk kid. He lives with his girlfriend. They have a falling out because he still hasn't told his parents that he lives with his girlfriend because he's afraid what they'll say. So his dad comes to pick him up at college and he pretends that he has a guy roommate. His girlfriend gets pissed and breaks up with him.
Which
he
is goes home. Extremely ironic that he doesn't want to tell his folks about his girlfriend because the rest of the movie they spend thinking he's gay. And of course, 1989, that's the most upsetting thing that could possibly happen.
Well, except there's let me get to it.
Yeah, fair enough.
He goes home, and that's when his dad finds out that he's basically flunking out of college. Like, he's not flunking out, but he's doing real bad. Like, and his dad's like, that's it, fuck you, I'm not paying.
It is sort of a Burt Kreischer Van Wilder. Yeah,
I'm not paying for your college anymore. So then he's like, all right, I guess I got to go get a job because I'm going back to college. He gets a job at a pizza place, which is a Mexican-themed pizza place.
It's called Señor Pizza. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And there are requirements for the uniform, and they are wild. They include a sombrero, a fake mustache, a vest that is reminiscent of something a bullfighter might wear, and no less than 7 times in the movie, people get in trouble for not wearing their fake mustache at the Mexican pizza place.
So white guy owns the place, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's his friend's dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so he gets this pretty rough, fellas.
Yeah.
He gets this job and he's like delivering pizzas and he runs into this like pretty girl who goes into this like boutique store and he goes and she gives him like eye contact while he's driving the delivery truck and he goes in to talk to her, but he takes off his fake mustache and she's like, oh, I thought you were like a man. I don't date boys.
His fake mustache and, that sticks out further than his cheekbones. Like, she thought that was his real mustache? Yeah, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
In the meantime, a not middle-aged, but I think they're trying to like...
Is his quest to grow a robust enough mustache?
No, not even a little.
Okay. He's a sweet, nubile boy, and that's the appeal, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I hate when you specifically use that word because you've used it in context that are really upsetting to me before because I think you just didn't aren't aware of the amount of porn with that tag on it. Yeah,
sure. I thought that was like an old-timey word. Okay, yeah, I don't know.
It is.
Fair enough.
It's both. Yeah,
it can be both. It can be two things.
I guess my porn lane is kind of narrow. I don't know. Yeah.
Like I'm assuming you just are unaware of that. So when you refer to your child as nubile, it's like,
also,
okay.
I don't think that's the word you wanted to use. You probably wanted to use natal, or something along those lines, because nubile means something very, very different.
We've established I'm not a linguist.
Okay, well, nubile means able to get pregnant.
Oh! Well, then Patrick Dempsey would presumably not be doing that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I guess he's able to get people pregnant, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can go both ways, but that it means sexually mature.
Oh. Okay.
Well, he's the whole plot of this movie is that he is sexually mature.
Well,
so I guess.
Sexually mature in the best usually way. Refers to young biological women.
I know.
I hate that we're doing this thing. Let's
move on. I understand
what
you're getting at. I was trying to guide us back to the movie.
No. So,
anything
let's
else?
Let's talk about what it really means, right? So, new, the prefix. Oh.
No. Mm-hmm. Back to
happy holidays, everybody.
Racist mustaches, yeah.
Okay.
In this house,
so he goes
I don't
in to talk to this.
Honda days. God.
Yeah, he goes in to talk to this lady,
December
and she's
to
like,
"Remember her guy."
Happy Hanukkah? That's nothing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we have a Jewish car holiday? That's a good point.
Yeah.
So he goes in and this girl is like, fuck no, you're a little boy. I don't like you. And then this actress who is an actual Italian actress who I think they're like portraying as like a middle-aged lady, but she's like maybe 30 tops.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, she's like, she like starts flirting
prime,
with him.
I guess.
She starts flirting with him and like getting him to try on clothes. And she buys him all these fancy clothes. And she's like, you know, hey, you know, it's maybe I'll run into you sometime. And then he starts getting, he gets his delivery for pizza with, was it extra anchovies? And it's this lady. And she's like, yeah, that was me. I wanted to fuck you. So they have an affair and he's all like, yeah, but I have a girlfriend. And she's like, oh, okay, then we won't. He's like, well, we broke up. And she's like, okay, well, let me teach you how to be a good lover, man. So they go on like
a. Is this an episode of Detroiters?
Well,
yeah, a little bit. So she teaches him how to be a good attentive lover, uh-huh. man. And she buys him a bunch of really gorgeous clothing. Mm-hmm. And the way to like cover for this is he keeps telling his parents, like, "Oh yeah, Tony loaned it to me or something." So his dad starts to think he's gay.
Sure. Right.
And his mom the whole time, like when his dad brings this up, his mom is like, "He's our son. Who fucking cares?"
Yeah. Awesome. Mom is really cool about it.
It's surprising for 89.
Yes.
Also, his mom is played by Kate Jackson, who was on Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
And got a bunch of Emmy nominations from being on Charlie. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she comes in later. And I swear to God, this movie has to be a remake of a French movie, but I couldn't find anything to suggest that. But like,
Except what he's delivering is croissant.
Crepes.
As we go on, you'll see why I think it's a remake of a French movie that I just can't
He's
prove.
He's delivering a baguette full of melted brie.
Mm-hmm. Baguette with extra anchovy? No. That doesn't work at all.
He's a French motherfucker with a tasty baguette, to quote Those Aren't Muskets. The Italian bird eventually, to quote Austin Powers, the Italian bird eventually is like, "I gotta go back to Italy," and he's like, "Oh man, but I had a great time," and he's like, "But I need you to know I don't love you. I love my girlfriend." She's like, "Yeah, that's chill."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a middle-aged woman. I do not fucking care.
Yeah, she's like, "We had a great time. And I told some of my friends about you," and this is how it goes on. Like, every time the pizzeria gets a call for extra anchovies, his friend, whose dad owns the place, he has confided all this information. And so his friend is like, "Oh, that's a Patrick Dempsey delivery. Let me make sure that he gets that delivery."
Mm-hmm.
And he starts seeing all these women. One of them is, I don't know the actress's name. She is, her character is from China. And she's like, "I left China because I wanted to be independent and have rights." And she's like, "I married this American man to do so. And then I ended up having, like, being more under his thumb than I ever was in my home country, where I had a job and, like, did things for myself.
And also, I want to fuck."
And also, I want to fuck. So he starts fucking her. And her husband is, his character design has to be based on Robert Evans, the Hollywood producer from the 70s.
Oh, I can see that.
Gigantic nose with only one nostril.
He looks like...
And like velour sweatsuits and like really horrible attitude towards everyone.
I was going to say, I know Ocean's 11 was obviously much after this movie, but he looks like Saul from Ocean's 11. The old guy.
Like Elliot Gould. Yeah. He's dressed the same way as Elliot Gould in Ocean's 11.
Yes. Yeah.
Only not really cool like Elliot Gould in Ocean's 11.
True. Yes.
Yeah. And that character happens to know Patrick Dempsey's dad because his dad runs a construction company and this guy's like a vague rich guy.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to like learn a lot about this guy, including that he uses the phrase Oriental a lot to refer to his wife.
I was like, 1989, did we still do that? I don't think we did. So but
Zach,
I
my
know.
Dad still does that.
No, I know. I know certain people still do this.
But back in town, or not back in town, but like in town recently, staying with me, and they used Oriental, and I was like,
"Your parents, much like the boys."
I was just gonna say, Lee yesterday said we don't. There's only one song about the boys being back in town.
Yeah, that is surprising.
I stole that from a tweet. I can't. I can't take. That
I love it either way. Yeah.
No, I haven't like on the tip of my tongue. There's another song about people being
playing
back in town.
With the boys. No.
Well, keep it in your heart, and when you think of it, bring it up.
Yeah.
The reason I mentioned that his dad knows this guy is because his dad confides in this guy that he thinks his son is gay, and that becomes important later. So there is a weird
amount of plot in this very stupid movie.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Then we get, every time I practice this in my head, I was like, wait, no, I have to mention that thing, because if I don't mention that thing, this thing doesn't make sense.
It's a red yarn on thumbtacks kind of situation.
Yeah, we get his parade of ladies.
That's fascinating how, like you said, razor thin, but still ridiculously linear it is.
Yeah.
I think it's an 80s thing. Narrative tightrope walk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's cocaine. Yet again. It's cocaine.
It's much like The Walk between, you know, that movie.
With Vigo and The Sadness?
No, that's the road. The Walk is the fictionalized version of that documentary about the guy who tightroped between the Twin Towers in the 70s.
I'm pretty sure The Walk is where Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen walk across the pyramids.
I faked this one, so I haven't seen
literally faked many versions of The Walk, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
Hey, Lee, have you seen a movie called The Walk to Remember?
I have. I know that one. Come on. Damn. Wait, friend of the show Jess is my best friend.
Have you seen the one starring Emilio, Martin, and Charlie, though? Because...
No, but I faked that one already.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. The Walk. I remember. I remember having to watch it. And
yeah, it was something.
Being a,
you know, that's
a
the first
an
Emilio's.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A podcast I listened to called This Has Oscar Buzz does a game called the IMDb game where they give you an actor and you have to come up with their top four best known for things according to IMDb.
Sure.
And Emilio's number one is that movie.
What the fuck? He's barely in it.
There's a lot of recency bias, and I think your publicist can, like, goose.
I was going to say, I think you're a lot... If you desire, like, your Wikipedia page, you can get in there and, like, fix it up if you want, yeah.
And I mean, also, it's, like, a movie that I feel like 50-plus-year-old Catholic ladies really, really like, because they want to do that
Paradise
Walk, and it's about, like... Oh, I'm having a crisis of faith, but then it's reaffirmed because of my children and because I want to fucking go to Spain, but I don't actually want to go to Spain.
Yeah, walking is hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I'll watch a movie about it instead on a bus trip to Atlantic City.
I like Martin Sheen. He was the president that one time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with his politics, but he was so handsome.
Incredibly liberal for my hypothetical liking.
Those two times, actually.
Oh, that's true.
What's the other time?
Didn't he have two terms in the West?
He had two terms.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you meant there was another thing that he was the president.
Have you not watched?
I've watched every episode of The West Wing, okay?
In Apocalypse Now, he comes home and is voted the president.
And
I always thought that, like, his character in The Dead Zone was more of an extension of his character from Apocalypse Now than his character in The West Wing. But
I think his character from The Walk was an extension of his character from The West Wing.
Yeah, he feels very similar in those. That's true.
You mean President Josiah Jed Bartlett?
Yep. Yeah. Sure. And Amelia plays Elizabeth Moss in this one, so that's good.
Really,
I prefer him, I think.
Man, it's so wild that, like, Sorkin wrote a character who's the president who has a PhD as though that would ever happen.
What universe?
No one would vote. Like, their opponent, all they have to say is, like, this liberal spent 10 years in college.
He's got all that book learning.
Didn't he have, like, a goddamn Nobel Prize or something in economics?
I think eventually, because he is an economics PhD. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't remember the Nobel Prize,
like,
thing, but that sounds right.
He was some, like, hyper-genius economics PhD.
Economics PhD is maybe the best one for president? That sounds great.
You know, my partner's uncle has an economics PhD, and you know what he does? He's not the fucking president. He's an analyst for the CIA.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, also good.
Bleep it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we begin the part of the movie that is like Patrick Dempsey
just
meeting up with all these ladies.
Yeah, so it's just a montage.
Just slinging that dick around, yeah.
Yeah, so he meets up with Kirstie Alley, who's a very successful doctor, and she's married to Robert Picardo, who's a very successful surgeon. And she's like, my husband is fucking his nurse. I want to get revenge on him. And I think, Zach, correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of implies at the end that they never actually have sex. They just ballroom dance together.
They do. It's a therapy session for her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Because, like, the whole message at the end, I'll get to it, is he's like, it wasn't about sex for everyone. Some people, it was just about, like,
human
having a attention to their needs and their hobbies.
This movie,
like,
may be ahead of the curve on this, but, like, a lot of sex work movies are like this now, where it's like people don't want to fuck. They just want, like,
human
any
connection.
Human connection.
A human connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Kirstie Alley is like really into Fred Astaire and like that era of big band. Sure. And so she teaches him how to ballroom dance, and he's not very good at it, but he's like passable.
But it's leading back to him getting his girlfriend back. He's like, oh, these are the right skills I'm gonna need. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The pay said.
And then Carrie Fisher is another one of the women, and she's a like art photographer who does studies of like the male body.
Uh-huh.
And that's her deal, is her husband is a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And she has all these like close-up studies of his muscles, and she assumes he's cheating on her.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever like weigh in that whether he is or not. And I think they do fuck though, right?
It's implied. Yeah.
She definitely also, like photographs him, which is where we see how scrawny he is. He is like, he truly looks like a teen boy.
Oh, Dempsey like, is a tiny, tiny man. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, didn't cast Lou Ferrigno as the husband, which is a fucking shame, but here we are.
That is a good point. So this is all going on, and he's getting paid $200 a pop, which he needs because he needs to pay for college.
Yeah.
And
when college was $200?
Oh, yeah. You just got to fuck like 10 people and you're going to college.
Yeah. His friend whose dad owns the pizza place, because he's like, these ladies are classy, they don't have cash on them. And his friend is like, I'm the bookkeeper, we'll just charge their credit cards and I'll pay you out. So that's kind of how it gets mm-hmm. discovered, because like the shitty Robert Evans husband kind of figures out what's going on first. And he ends up thinking it's Picardo. I don't remember why. Because Picardo is his wife's doctor or something. And then him and Picardo team up. And Picardo is like, oh, my wife's cheating on me? Well, I cheated on her, so I guess it's only fair. And then Robert Evans guy is like, no, fuck that, we're men. And he gets Picardo on his side. And then they're like, oh, they both have this personal trainer, and it's Carrie Fisher's husband. And so they go to accost him. And they find out, like, oh, I guess he's also getting cucked up.
Yeah.
And they spend some time trying to figure out what's going on. So they're, like, going through their credit card receipts, and they see, like, $200 for pizza. It's got to be this pizza place.
There is a very confusing scene in the middle of the movie where it's Dempsey's dad, Saul from Ocean's 11, and the bodybuilder in a car listening to Great Balls of Fire, getting ready to kick...
Oh, no, it's Picardo, not Dempsey's dad.
Or Picardo, yeah. Getting ready to kick Dempsey's ass, although they don't know who he is. But they're just driving around listening to Great Balls of Fire. And I'm like, is this the... Really? Confusing. Like, that thing? I don't... Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, other story. His parents have quite a rift, because his mom is like, he's our son, we should support him and love him, and also we should pay for him to go to college. He's not failing out, he's just not doing as well as you want him to do.
This is truly his dad, the most cocaine storyline. This did not have to exist in any
and
capacity.
His dad is all like, no, fuck that, I'm stubborn and he's not applying himself, and also I'm scared that he might be gay.
No,
so they have this big rift, and his dad is like, because he's a contractor and he has big job sites, he's like sleeping in the trailer on the job site, but he also is getting drunk because he's depressed because him and his wife are on the outs, and he forgets that his like receptionist is having her apartment painted, and he told her she could stay in the trailer. So he shows up and, like, passes out, not naked, but, like, barely clothed next to her. And she's really upset, obviously. And she's played by Elizabeth Daly, a.k.a. E.G. Daly, the voice of Tommy Pickles.
Also,
so that's a whole storyline where his wife thinks also that. Yeah. Also, she is the front woman of the band that plays at the New Year's party in Better Off Dead. We're getting back to Better Off Dead.
Okay. There's also a flip side to the cocaine story where the mom, unless you're getting to this, the mom...
I'm getting to it. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the mom thinks, like, because she calls to find out where the dad is, and E.G. and Elizabeth Daly answers, and she's like, oh my god, he's cheating on me with this little girl. And then they have a lot of weird conversations where it seems like he's cheating on her, but he's really not. So she's all broken up and like confused about it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, all summer, Patrick Dempsey's been writing letters and leaving messages for his girlfriend about how much he still cares for her. And he really wants her to come to visit him at the end of the summer because his parents are having a 20th anniversary party. Mm-hmm. So finally, she decides, I'm going to give it another chance. She shows up in town while he's out on a date. I'll get to it, Zach, because it's a very important date.
I hate to interrupt yet again, but you said you practiced this so many times. How, on a scale from 1 to 10, how do you think this is going?
Poorly.
I think from 1 to 10, the max you could have gotten just from the facts of this movie is like a 3.5. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I say I'm going about a 2 right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fine.
I haven't even
interrupted. So his girlfriend shows up at the pizza place because she knows that he works there. Mm-hmm. And who's at the pizza place but the guy from Nip Tuck who didn't play Dr. Doom in the Fantastic Four movies from the early 2000s that Tim Story directed?
And that shark movie that we did recently. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was in that too. Yeah.
Did I watch that? I don't think so.
No, no, Zach. Julian McMahon was in the shark movie. This is the other guy from Nip
Tuck. Dylan Baker, the other guy. Yeah.
Dylan Baker is a different guy altogether.
Hmm. Okay. I don't know.
Dylan Baker played the Kurt Connors, the lizard, in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. But this guy's name is Dylan.
Yeah.
We're down to a 1, by the way.
Oh, right. Dylan Baker is a different guy. He plays a creepo all the time.
Is Dylan McDermott a name that exists? I don't know.
Dylan McDermott's a name. It's very much not him, though.
Yeah. I'll find it and yell it out. It's
okay. Fine. So one of the guys from Nip Tuck. No,
he was also has a different name as well.
Bobby Zims.
Yeah. Dylan Walsh is his name.
Dylan Walsh, that's it. Who plays the stepfather in the remake of The Stepfather?
Oh,
the original being a Terry O'Quinn movie.
Sure was.
Terry O'Quinn in last week's
movie.
Sure
was. Yeah,
it all comes around, doesn't it? Yeah.
By the way, the stepfather, the Terry O'Quinn version, is incredible.
Okay.
Is it?
Zach, you're a horror movie guy. You'd be
I am. Oh, I didn't know that was a horror movie.
Yeah, okay. It is.
Yeah.
Seth said that very accusingly.
Well, okay. I don't know. I'm
yeah,
kind of
you'd fucking be
that.
Into it.
It's a truly good movie. He won a Saturn Award for the performance, and there was actually buzz that he might like sneak in for a Golden Globe that year. Like
for a horror movie? Okay.
Yeah, really,
he was really good.
Yeah. Cool. Terry O'Quinn just made up the O part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's not Terry O'Quinn.
No.
Literally, Terry O'Quinn in the 80s, his name is Terrence Quinn, and he decided, if I change my name to Terry O'Quinn, I might get cast more. Because I guess Irish stereotypes were really big in the 80s, according to him.
Oh, it wasn't a SAG name collision thing where he was just like, I guess I'll be Irish now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because in the 70s, he has some credits as just Terry Quinn.
Huh? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, he's a resident of Virginia Beach.
And that island in Lost. Yeah.
That too. Yeah. He's a man of faith.
He sure is. I guess he's a smoker.
And I guess Dylan Walsh would be a man of science since he played a plastic surgeon on Nip Tuck.
Ooh, kind of a bad one, though. Ooh.
So, okay. Patrick Dempsey's girlfriend shows up to the pizza place.
Right.
Dylan Walsh also shows up because he lives in this town and hates Patrick Dempsey and wants to date Patrick Dempsey's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw Patrick Dempsey out at makeout point with one of these ladies earlier in the summer. Mm-hmm. And he blows up Patrick Dempsey's spot real bad to this girl. So Dempsey shows up and him and the girl have a falling out. In the meantime, the thing I left out was the reason Dempsey wasn't at the pizza place is because they got another call for extra anchovies.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who called was his mom.
Bum, bum, bum.
Because Kirstie Alley is his mom's doctor, who was like, by the way, I've been feeling great lately because there's this guy who takes care of all my needs. Because
of this anchovy and, deep dicking. Yeah.
Yeah. And Patrick Dempsey shows up to the motel. He shows
UTI
up to the motel room
that
his...
God damn.
It is.
He shows up to the hotel room... that his mom rented, and he sees that it's his mom, and he's like, fuck, I gotta get out of here. So he gets out of there, and then he tells the Lothario, I say Italian, like literally his character's from Italy.
Yeah.
The Lothario Italian man who works as a delivery boy at this pizza place, can you go to this location, give her...
And fuck my mom.
No, and he says, give her a refund and tell her, I'm sorry, but we're out of anchovies. And the kid who knows what's been
stress this enough. Do not fuck my mom.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and the kid who all summer has been like, Every woman throws herself at me. I'm so bored. He shows up and he's going to do this thing for Patrick Dempsey. And then in the meantime, Patrick Dempsey's mom has had a change of heart.
Ah.
And doesn't want to do this anymore. And she tells the guy. So he falls in love with her immediately. Yeah,
he's kind of a sex pest. He's like, wait, okay. But you're a hot mom. And I'm going to fuck
you. You're a hot mom and you don't want to fuck me? Yeah. That means I love you. Yeah. Like, yeah. So, okay, you know that happened. So now Dempsey shows up at the pizza place.
Lee,
and Dylan Walsh.
We're out of red string and thumbtacks. This has gotten entirely
Dylan
Walsh.
Oh, that's a good idea. I should do that as a
part. Pepe Silva. Pepe Silva.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Carol.
Dylan Walsh blows up his Patrick Dempsey's spot to his girlfriend, and she's like, "What the fuck?" And then all of the dudes. The angry husbands also show up at the restaurant while Patrick Dempsey is trying to smooth things over with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And the dudes are like, extra anchovies. And they think, and, you know, Patrick Dempsey's there. It's like, it's got to be this kid. And Picardo and the bodybuilder go to beat him up. But Robert Evans is like, no, that's this guy I know's gay kid. It can't be him. So then,
he's so gay.
Right. And that's why that scene was important to bring up earlier.
Wait a second. Is this movie actually, like, progressive?
It's fucking airtight, it turns out.
It's like, in terms of, like, oh, it turns out that being a hyper-masculine asshole is not great and maybe having some sensitivity.
No, it's not. It's not that at all.
Truly.
No. It is airtight, though. You could take this movie to the Titanic on the bottom of the ocean and it would not implode.
Using a PS4, an off-brand PS4 controller.
Yeah.
Mad Cats, baby. Yeah. Yeah, this is Mad Cats rated. Fucking, they show and they're gonna beat him up, and then this guy's like, "No, that kid can't have done it."
Yeah.
And then they just see Dylan Walsh, and it's like, "Well, here's another person. It must be him." So they just start beating up Dylan Walsh, and then
who's asking for it? To be fair, he's a total
Patrick
dick
Dempsey,
in this movie. Yeah,
yeah, it's true. Yeah. Then there's this big, like, chase sequence where the Italian sex pest is chasing Patrick Dempsey's mom.
Is there Mini Coopers involved?
No, but there's vehicles.
Dylan owns an MG that is,
that's true.
Is running, which is confusing, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the sex pest is chasing Dempsey's mom, and then Dempsey is chasing his girlfriend, and Dempsey's dad is racing to get... By the way, his mom... called for a dickin before her anniversary party that she was gonna have.
Wow.
This is all happening right before the anniversary
party.
She
was really sticking it to dad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's on the way to the anniversary party. Italian guy's chasing her. Patrick Dempsey's chasing his girlfriend. Dad is trying to make it to the anniversary party, and I forget what's going on with him. And then the three husbands realize, oh, it's not Dylan Walsh, because he doesn't even work here, they find out. So it must be Patrick Dempsey. So then they're chasing them, too. Everybody winds up at the anniversary party, which is taking place at a really dope fucking tiki bar,
by
the way. Oh, my
God. They went to the fucking nines on this tiki bar. It is wild how much they really got in there. Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't even drink there. I would rent a booth there and ask if I could live there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It's so dope. Yeah.
So they all converge at the anniversary party. Mom and dad both still think each other has cheated on each other, but they're all like, you know what? I love you. And then everything gets resolved.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Dempsey is there and the like husbands are chasing him and there's like a fight scene. Because the reason they figure out for sure that it was Dempsey is because all their wives don't recognize Dylan Walsh, but they recognize Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fight scene where Dempsey hangs on like a ceiling fan and kicks the bodybuilder in the face or some shit like
that's
that. Anyway,
they also all three push. They're on other opposite sides of a piano, and they push him on the piano. This tiki bar also happens to be at the pier, and so like it's implied that they might push him like into the ocean or something. Yeah, it's wild.
That's cool.
The husbands cause some sort of crazy damage to a car to a cop car, and then the cops are like, "Hey, you three." So the husbands are out of the picture now for a minute.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Dempsey can, like, explain to his girlfriend, I needed money, and also, it wasn't all about sex, and also, I learned how to dance, and like, everybody has a great time at the party. And then there's, like, post-credit stuff, where, like, Dempsey is dancing with his girlfriend, like, Fred Astaire, and then he explains at the end, like, Carrie Fisher and Muscle Husband were both like, I'm sorry, and they're doing great now. And Robert Picardo and Kirstie Alley were like, fuck you, but we still like to have sex with each other. So they're doing great.
Well.
And then Robert Evans and his wife, she goes to bail him out of jail and then realizes, I don't have to do this shit. All of his businesses are in my name. I have the money and he sucks.
Yep.
And she has a happy ending too.
Yeah.
So everybody has, and mom and dad get back together. Yeah. And that was Loverboy. And I think I clocked in at a 1.2.
Okay.
Yeah. You forgot the part where the dad... at this fucking Donnybrook.
Oh, finds out he's not gay.
Yeah, the dad, yeah. He goes, listen, son, I've come to grips with the fact that you're gay.
That's cool.
That's okay. No. Because then he realizes that he's not gay and he's just been fucking so everybody's wife.
Or whatever.
And yeah, he goes, oh, thank God you're not gay. And it's like, oh, we almost had it.
Yeah, almost had it. You're so
right, because Dempsey is like, this is my girlfriend. I've been living with her for 2 years. And he's like, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah.
But that's still shitty. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like,
it's 1989.
It's a mixed bag of messaging about acceptance in this movie for certain.
Again, it's 1989. Contextually, this would not have been out of place.
Yeah, I mean,
it is what it is.
If anything, it might be like progressive for the era.
No, the mom was like totally down.
That was the vibe I was getting from Lee's at least a 2.5 description.
Yeah. Well, and also,
that's very kind of you. Thank you.
The male sex work, everyone, that is a positive message.
Yeah,
where
but
all of these
Cowboy had already come out, so like, who cares?
That one was
very
different.
The sex work in Midnight Cowboy is very not positive.
Yes, this one is. This one is Dempsey. Dempsey gets to do, go back to college and
Dempsey
learn things about life.
Dallas or whatever fucking small town.
Sort of, yeah. And all of these women who are in very loveless, terrible marriages seem to get what they want out of it. So, like, it is sort of everybody wins, kind of, I think.
And Carrie Fisher was in it, so you have to assume that she doctored the script.
Oh, yeah. Because she fucking rewrote half of the 1980s.
Half of the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Uncredited.
Yeah, unfortunately, but like, damn, did she ever punch up like anything that had any semblance of comedy in that?
I see here you've got a script about a young guy who fucks people. I can help.
I've
you
got
out.
Some
let
thoughts.
Let me make it about not being as shitty as you had originally written.
Yeah.
I see you're dropping a lot of F slurs in this script, and I think we can get rid of those right away.
There were a couple of those in here, I think. Okay, I have so many notes. I took.
Oh, you have notes. Fantastic. I have zero notes.
This is top three amount of notes that I think I've ever taken.
Wow. That is
note number.
That is wild stuff.
This movie was crazy. Not bad. Honestly,
wait,
enjoyable.
I watch it?
No.
Okay.
Probably not.
Because
I don't think you would like it.
Because I mean, like, sex.
I'll put it this way. Seth, you know that my genre of bad / cheese is like dumb 80s bullshit, right? I didn't enjoy this.
No. Because I think my genre of dumb / cheese is like weird late 90s and aughts action movies that just have nothing happening in them.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Notes start on the opening credits, which
talk
are
about Notes from Underground, the Dostoevsky.
I was going to make a Notes on a Scandal joke, so thank you. This is good stuff.
Both literary references go.
Yikes. Opening credits are a cartoon. They are cartoon based, which is such an 80s thing.
Oh, like Cool World.
It really what it really reminded me of
try
is
to fuck
is
the cartoon note or the cartoon opening titles.
No.
The cartoon titles really reminded me of the cartoon opening to the movie Don't Tell Her It's Me / The Boyfriend School.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Zach, the way you paused, I don't think you know what.
No,
this
I
is.
Don't.
Seth, we
yeah.
Let's that's Zach's next movie, by the way, is Don't Tell Her It's Me.
Mm-hmm. Let the record reflect.
That is the rule.
Write it down right now, please.
I'll do it.
A movie I couldn't even finish when I tried to watch.
Oh, cool. Good.
Thanks. Again.
That bodes well. Yeah. The song, not a bespoke song, but it's The World Don't Need Another Lover by, I'm told by Google, Giant Steps. It's a great song for this movie. The cartoon opening, I was like, we are in for a ride. This is exciting.
Why wasn't the opening great. They Might Be Giants? Because then I would have been all about it.
They probably were a band in 1989, if I had to guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely existed.
They've been around since like 1984.
The dawn of time? Yeah. Note number two. Demps looks, acts, and sounds like Skylar Gazondo, The Best of Us. I told Lee this. His face is very similar, and he's kind of happy-go-lucky in this. And he's obviously the main character, the audience surrogate, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping Skylar really comes into his own and wins People's Sexiest Man in like 35 to 37 years, would be my guess.
I mean, you know I'm all for anything positive in terms of Skylar.
Yeah.
I'm here
only
for
the
it.
Best for our book.
Man, yeah. I think, should I watch The Binge tonight?
Always. Literally always.
Yeah, maybe I will too. Or I could watch his other film where he was a voice actor, which is called Spooky Buddies.
Now, Seth, have you seen... have you seen Feast of the Seven Fishes? Because that's a good one.
I don't want to watch an Italian drama.
Okay, well, The Binge it is then.
It's not really a drama. We did it on the show, and we both really loved it.
It sounded so incredibly stressful to me that I have... Oh, boy.
It is kind of that episode of The Bear.
Yeah, ish. Like, why don't I just rewatch that episode of The Bear, which was really, really good, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know what I found out recently? Skylar Gazondo is in the Rob Zombie Halloween.
Does he play Halloween?
He plays the kid that the main girl babysits.
He must have been a little baby boy.
He was a little baby boy. I'm not going
to
watch The Bear, Seth. I don't watch TV shows that run more than 22 minutes and give me anxiety.
It is basically a movie, though. Like, it is so well done. Man,
it is a lot of anxiety.
I'm sorry. Like, I
know.
Get on my partner about it. If she wants to watch it, I will watch it passively and then get into it like I always do.
Yeah.
Just like Succession.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, it's no worse than Succession as far as anxiety goes. Yeah.
Oh, you mean a show that gives me stomach aches that I can't rewatch?
Yeah. It's not worse than that.
It's a lot. Well, it's sort of lower stakes, but it's more personal. Anyway.
Maybe I'll treat myself to an anxiety pill tonight.
Yeah. Wait, are they benzos?
I don't need it, so I would just be getting high.
If they're benzos, don't take it with booze, because
they're benzos, baby.
Yeah, mine are too, so don't take that with booze. Yeah. Oh,
I've definitely made the mistake of taking one and then going out to dinner and having a couple glasses of wine and then almost not being able to walk home.
Yeah, yeah. Oops, my whole liver.
I feel like I just don't absorb any of these chemicals well. Like, even a benzo.
Sometimes good, sometimes not so good.
Well, no.
You know what my body's been blessed with? The ability to get high from anything. Yeah. That's what my body's been blessed with.
I can't. Yeah. Never. I've never have, other than psilocybin, so.
Yeah.
Well.
Rolling.
I mean, psilocybin is super fun. The last time I took it was during the 2020 election.
I remember.
Whew, yeah. That was a great day.
It has been years for me, and boy, oh boy, I would drop everything and run to. I would run mouth open to the hand of the person holding them to, like, yes, let's have some fun.
Yeah, agreed. Oh boy. Yeah. Anyway, that was drug talk. Anyway.
So. Yeah. Here we are. Next note. I talked about the dad is literally drinking, we covered this, literally drinking gay son sorrows away when the guy next to him at the bar says, you never get treated that way by an oriental woman. And I said, my fucking yikes bingo card has never been so full in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next, Carrie Fisher might technically be the least smoking hot coug in this movie, which is really saying something for the overall coug bar that they're setting.
What? What I'm about to point out is Carrie Fisher is like jaw-droppingly gorgeous in this movie. I get what you're saying.
She's great, but she's all the other moms are like just a skosh.
She's not styled. Yeah. She's not styled like a glamorous hot lady.
She's styled
so
soccer mom.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, she. I mean, has always looked great. But
wait, so I'm a little confused that because I thought you were saying that all of the hot ladies in this look like Steve Coogan.
Yeah, a bunch of little Alan Partridges,
little
running.
Hamlet twos. Yeah.
Okay. Is that not the case?
I'd say slightly better looking.
Oh, so they look like Stevie or Jackie Coogan.
A bunch of little Fester Adamses.
I thought you were gonna say Stevie Nicks and bring it back around to like hot people, but
no, just like the Wild Winged Dove, baby.
I just delve deeper into the darkness. Is my want, of course.
You do, you do.
Yes. Hello, darkness. That's old friend. Remember when I rewrote all the lyrics to "Rumors" to be about Freddy Krueger? Yep. That was something I did.
I have all of those things saved on my desktop of this computer.
Me too,
and
baby.
Several. Computers I'm just, prior.
I'm waiting for you to find me instrumental tracks so I can lay down a whole fucking album.
Find you. I will play you instrumental tracks.
Okay. Let's fucking do it.
Get friend of the show Jared into this. He owes me some accompaniments, I think. And Seth's obviously on board. Okay. I can tell by his face.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't have bigger things to do.
Nah.
This clears the schedule. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Demps gets rolled by the bodybuilder guy. And then dreams that he goes into surgery with Dr. Husband, who is
Picardo.
Yeah. Who uses a spade bit, like the thing you use if you want to drill like a big hole, into his abdomen. And then he wakes up and it's a dream. And I was like, okay, this is the most 80s this movie has been. It's just
hijinksy.
It's very funny.
I forgot there was a surgery dream nightmare sequence. But that is in the trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But Demps is like, no. And he brings this like comically large drill bit with just a fucking Craftsman power drill, like into his abdomen. Yeah.
And I think he even makes a comment like, no anesthesia for this one.
Yeah. Wink. Yeah. Home security robot, that looks like a child's toy and says very bad boy in an offensive Asian accent and then yells for its papa because it's scared. This is the Robert Evans with the Asian wife character.
Yeah, his whole deal is like he's an importer-exporter and he like sells bootleg toys and stuff.
No, it was supposed to be an actual security thing and it's very offensively Asian patterned and woofer doofers. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I remember him complaining to his wife about like, nobody wants my robot.
Yeah, and then they have 15,000 of them in their house and whatever, yeah. We kind of talked about this. They set up the Back to the Future style, oops, I almost fucked my mom. Mm-hmm. My yikes bingo card is up to like 15 bingos at this point.
The thing about that storyline is I feel like if he walked out, his mom would be like, honey, you could have asked us for money. And then he would have been like, but mom, this is fulfilling for me as well. And she would have been like, well, okay, just be careful. And he would have been like, wait, are you and dad unhappy? And they would have had a good conversation.
You're imagining a world that doesn't happen in 1989. She would have said, oh, thank God you're not gay. That's what she would have said in this movie.
No, his mom is on the train the whole movie about it not mattering.
Reluctantly.
I don't
it's
think it is.
1989.
I disagree with you on this. Okay. I think they have, it's, yeah.
Okay, all right. Jenny, the girlfriend, gets skeeved out by Dylan Baker at makeout point. We talked about this. Gets out of his MG, runs 30 feet to the road, which is a terrible makeout point. It's literally right off the fucking 30 road.
30 feet from the road?
30 feet to the road. A car with, like, I'm not kidding, 11 people stops. She jumps
in. I forgot about this.
She jumps in the car. Zero words are exchanged, and the guy immediately drives off.
Right, and then you hear a little ADR. You hear some ADR where it's like, oh, this guy was like making a move on me, and I wasn't into it. And they were all like, oh, yeah, come with
after, us. After they're literally already moving forward. They stop, she gets in, zero words, move on. I was like, what the fuck world is this?
I kind of aspire to be that kind of cool dude. I mean, not anymore.
You would have had to live in the 70s.
I'm fairly old, but
I have a car full. I have a mixed gender car, and a woman in distress jumped in. Let's get going
to the beach. We go
as it should occur. Like, hey,
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Tell us what you need.
A person runs up to the car looking stressed. No question asked. Let's fucking get out of here. And maybe you're going to stab me. I don't really care, honestly.
You would hope. This is actually how my favorite noir movie, Kiss Me Deadly, begins. Huh? This is literally the opening scene of Kiss Me Deadly. Okay. Is Cloris Leachman is running down a highway, and then a guy pulls over and goes, "Do you need help?" And she goes, "Yes." And she gets in the car, and they drive away. Wow. And then the whole movie starts. Yeah.
A nicer time. Yeah.
Is that guy cool?
Well, I mean, you know, she gets murdered pretty quick.
Sure. Yeah.
Great movie, by the way.
Okay, but I assume that my car is, you know, a, what was that, like, Monsters, where they had, like, the it was like a series of comics and, models where you had a monster with, like, a giant rigged out car, and they were kind of...
Twisted Metal.
I don't know what you're talking about, but a few years ago they made a movie called Monster Trucks where a big old squid monster lived in a giant truck.
Yeah, I assume it's sort of like a weird offset car that has like stadium seating in the back and it's just filled with people. And then
that's what this one was.
And I just drive around, make out points.
I think it was just a big old Lincoln.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Seth, you skip make out point, but you do U-turns at the exits. Like before and after this, like one of these days somebody's gonna come running.
You just
out.
Drive in circles from the exit to the exit.
But
yeah,
but everybody's in stadium seating and is enjoying the ride because we all have great conversations as we're driving. Now, and I just rescue people that are like having a real bad time regardless of gender.
Sure. Yeah. And that one day it happens and you're like, this is what we play for.
Yeah. This is the game.
Now, do you slam to the ditches and
burn by the
rain in the back of your Dracula? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Skylar Gazanda was in that movie that one time.
Yeah, it's true. I saw that.
Okay. Speaking of A More Innocent Time, before the fist fight, Dempsey clarifies no watches and no rings. And the way he said it, it reminds me of it being a long way from the modern current day Buffalo, New York pepperoni fights. No faces, no cocks.
it is an ancestor of that. Yeah. Yes.
You can't wear rings and watches because you might hit someone in the face and hurt them. And no faces, no cocks is don't hit anybody with a stick of pepperoni in their face or their
in the
cock.
Face of the cock. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which fair.
Wow. Fair. Boy.
Have you never seen a Buffalo tailgate fight?
Tailgate throwdown? It's a gentleman's game. It's incredible.
Because no faces.
It's
no
very
cocks.
Honorable.
It's only for gentlemen.
And when it's over, it's over. Everybody goes their separate ways.
That's true. That is true. When it's over, it's over.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, that reminds me of the documentary Now, where they just have, like, that rock-throwing contest, where they're just like,
sure.
Yeah, you get to pick up however many rocks you can in an hour. And then just throw them at each other.
Right. But Documentary Now is fake, and Buffalo, New York is real. So
what documentary is that riff on?
I honestly have
Midsummer?
No idea.
Mm-hmm. My last note is, this is Saul Goodman, I guess Robert Evans. At the end, he says, in literal Dangerfield voice, he goes, "Your son's been porking my wife." Literally that hold on wife. It's quite good. Yeah.
And he has.
Yeah, he really did. That's true. Yeah. The last thing, I tried to look up trivia or literally anything about this movie. Nothing. The internet is
I know.
Devoid
same,
of
same.
Any information on this movie. It barely
exists. Like this movie doesn't exist. And I feel like that's a thing with a lot of 80s movies, is they were just churning them out at a certain point where
The wiki page.
I think a lot of it is that the production companies just don't exist anymore.
Probably, yeah. Oh, the wiki page has a very long plot summary, and then the sentence, "Loverboy received..."
Oh, just like me.
Yeah, God. It's a 2.5, yeah. The only other thing on the wiki page is Loverboy received mixed reviews from critics as it holds a 50% rating on Rotten Tomatoes for 10 reviews. End of wiki page. Yep.
Wait, I'm sorry. The Documentary Now, Seth just sent the link. The Documentary Now episode about throwing rocks is a riff on the Rumble in the Jungle, the documentary about Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman fighting in Zaire.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, no.
That is... a departure from the subject matter in a way that I'm not used to with documentary. Yeah. Now. It's usually a lot closer.
Yeah. It's usually just Fred Armisen talking in a low voice a lot.
Yeah. I think it's mostly about the fact of like just completely mismatched fight, but people being very, very...
Well, so the Rumble in the Jungle documentary, the big thing about that is like the story around the fight being
made.
Yes,
that's
important.
This too,
yeah.
Right?
Was that a mismatched fight? I thought Foreman and Ali was kind of old at this point, wasn't he?
It was mismatched at the moment because Ali hadn't fought in a few years, and Foreman was just rolling over everybody.
Yeah, that is.
It was a mismatch in that sense.
That is precisely what occurred here. But it is all about like their backgrounds and like how they think about throwing rocks at each other. And
sure. Does someone do a rope-a-dope with rocks, or they just let them throw a bunch of rocks?
Throw one high and then one like laser beam?
The rules are you just get to throw all of the rocks that you happen to have on your side of the arena. Yeah.
And boxing rules famously loose. Yeah.
And if you take all those rocks, then you can just do whatever with all the rocks you collected.
Gotcha. Because that's the whole thing with the Rumble in the Jungle is Ali's knew that he couldn't outpower Foreman, and his strategy was, I will just put my hands up and let him get tired and then rip him
apart.
That
is literally what happens, except involving rocks and Welshmen, extremely drunk right. Welshmen.
You know what, Seth? You've sold me on it. I wasn't sure, and now you've sold me on it.
The concept of documentary now is so wild, and I'm amazed that it has gone on as long as it has. Every time I watch one of those, I'm like, how is HBO still paying for this? This is not their thing.
Yeah.
The episode Co-op, which is a riff on the company cast album documentary that D.A. Pennebaker made.
See, again, they're all so weirdly specific.
Good. Almost all of them are incredibly specific.
Yeah,
incredibly
you gotta Google the, like, what are they making fun of? I don't even know.
And I've seen both of them now, and I have to say, the Documentary Now episode is barely not the actual thing. Well, it is there are parts of it that are literally
like the first season finale, which was like Batshit Alley or whatever the hell it was.
Oh, the Grey Gardens one.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Yeah,
boy. Anyway, boy. Back to our thing.
Yeah, we're done.
Instead of
scores.
More famous people.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
early
true.
Did you have other things? I don't know.
Hell no, I don't got shit about this movie.
Note that I didn't say more talented. I just said more famous.
Sure.
Yeah,
I think
it was implied.
Lee, shut the fuck up.
Listen, Seth, my dream is to be a talented person who's recognized for their comedy and abilities and whatnot. It's never going to happen, and I'm okay with that.
This is why we hang out with each other, so we bolster each other's egos in this way. Yes.
Right. This is why I have friends, because my friends make me feel good.
Agreed. Fully agreed. Yeah.
Just like Jackie Coogan.
Well, on that...
Our gang? Was that an Our Gang / Little Rascals reference, or like what?
Yeah, I mean, vaguely.
Sure.
Anyway.
I killed the original alfalfa.
8,600 total ratings ever. It is a 6.0.
Oh, that's...
That's honestly not surprising. I feel like that's exactly
like,
the score
that's
I expected.
That's like the middling threshold between 6.3 and 5.4, right?
Which yeah, is, and which if like someone yeah. if someone nothing. Took the time out of their day to rate this on IMDb, they probably liked it, which is... Surprising.
Right, but they definitely didn't love it because
clearly.
No one knows about this movie.
Yeah, so it's just
they liked it enough to give it a 7, and then a bunch of people gave it a 0. So yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Middling.
Lee, thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Seth, your movie. We went over Hills and Dales.
Yeah, we did.
And we did a lot of wordplay. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we were all a little bit better off for it. So I'm going to give you an 8.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. Despite
it wasn't Shrek.
The Shrekness of it all.
It wasn't Shrek.
The Shrekness of it all.
No, I like that you did a very 80s thing, which was having a Patrick Dempsey playing a Spanish man.
True.
But you also didn't do it in a way that was upsetting, which was not 80s of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll give you an 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
In the real movie, Zach seemed to like it more than I did. I feel like I'm willing to say maybe, like, I watched it when I was, like, quite ill. Maybe that tempered it a bit. You know, it's exactly my kind of shitty movie genre, and I just didn't love it, so I'll give it a 4.
Okay. That's okay. Fair.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Despite the bait and switch at the beginning.
Man, my heart sank when you were doing Shrek. I was like, oh my God, he is fucking doing it again. He's really doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then just rose to the hills when
it's
you weren't.
Again, it's Shriek. Like flavors. Shriek. It's just all about juxtaposing position. That's why
true.
You don't want a
you put a strawberry in front of the chocolate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. That sounds nice.
Seth, your movie was great. I mean, I guess I don't know that you knew that this was an 80s movie, but you did capture the on the nose of all of the everyone
oh,
is like
oh,
so
you mean,
explicitly
you mean
evil.
Yeah, I think so.
Evil corporation project
right.
about destroying food.
Exactly.
Capitalism.
There was zero subtlety uh-huh. whatsoever, but like it was still very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, the comeuppance does happen, as mentioned at the time.
It felt like the type of movie where, like, someone could, like, realistically have yelled, food fight!
yeah.
And it wouldn't have felt out
or
of
ski
place.
Race! Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hot dog, the movie.
I will also go 8.
Sweet
I think
ass.
It was great.
Yeah, great.
OG movie, yeah, I think, Lee, you're right. Like, I did like it a little more than you. I think because my expectations were so low. Like, sometimes these movies are very, very bad. Like,
you know,
Beach Party 47 or whatever. It's just like, okay, we're going to see some tits, and then I'm going to be bored for fucking mm-hmm. 96 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I do appreciate that it, like, it plotting-wise, it decided to go a little buck wild.
It
just didn't feel buck wild at the... You know? Does that
yeah.
make sense?
No, but they did bite something off. Like, they did do some
does
stuff.
It seem like they were reasonably supportive, though, like...
At times, they were, yeah, for
at
sure.
times. And, like,
in the context of 1989.
All we can accept, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously, we all feel people should have been better, but, you know... That's not
sure.
what appears. So.
Right. I think
the 7 people listening to this know how we
obviously. About,
yeah.
Did Seth go very alt-right? I'm so confused. I'm going to give it a 5. I agree. It's not a movie
Wait,
anyone
why did
should
you
go
say that,
out of
Zach?
Their way.
That makes me feel really shitty. What did I do?
No, Lee was saying all of the people that listen are our friends and fully understand our positions on these political issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
No one is going to think that that happened with
right.
you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or expect that. Right. Yeah.
The gods, because
yeah.
boy, oh boy.
Yes. Yeah. 5 for the OG. No one should ever go out of their way to watch this.
No.
Is...
Not even I.
No.
No.
There's so many other movies. No. Like
there's
binge.
There's other 80s movies that are dumb.
The Skylar Gazzando joint, The Binge.
All right, so I'll just rewatch that.
For example, like Hamburger the Motion Picture. Like Hamburger the Motion Picture is far more objectionable, but it's so fucking crazy that it's
took
like,
a bigger swing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Or a movie that I hope to do on this show one day, Joysticks. Again.
I know Joysticks.
Really fucking
Joysticks. So
okay.
I don't know Joysticks.
Really fucking stupid, really fucking out there, and like, you know, it's
yeah.
You watch it and you're like, wow, that was a bad
How
movie.
About,
I had a great
fucking
time.
Fucking Lawnmower Man, a movie I still haven't seen, but
90s movie, but fucking
same,
yeah,
same
I love
deal.
Lawnmower
like,
Man.
Really took a swing.
Just big old swings, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Pierce
yep.
Brosnan is in that.
Yeah.
That's
and
true.
He barely dies
and,
another day.
And Jeff Fahey as a digital Jesus. Like, yeah.
yep. What's not to like?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Seth, really, handed dies. Win. Well done. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Next week, Lee will be doing a movie called Romeo is Bleeding. As is now customary, Lee, the likelihood that this is a Final Fantasy movie is a 7.6. So good
yeah,
luck.
It's pretty high.
It's kind of high.
High
it's kind of high. I
yeah.
don't know. Friend of the show, Kev's listening. He's just around. He's always around. Could
and he just moved into a new place, so he's got all kinds of room to stretch
exactly.
out and record.
Exactly.
Yeah,
true. So true. You know, beware.
Yeah. Just
Love Struck Romeo. I love Dire Straits. Maybe I'll make a Dire Straits biopic out of it.
Hey, by all means. Is there big swords and like Japanese stuff?
Not really.
Okay. I mean,
more like British blues and jazz.
Well, that's your choice. That's your choice. Yeah.
That's The Doors. That's a different one.
I fucking hate The Doors.
Dire Straits did. Didn't they do a cover of. Never mind. In the podcast.
Do you ever think about, man, I feel like we're ending the podcast and then Seth like struggles to do a thing and you go, oh, this isn't it. This can't be it. I don't know what's happening.
I was just thinking about how we can't end on that. No, exactly. We have to find a better way.
I was like, I love my friend Seth, and I really hope he digs out of this, but I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's got it in him.
I'm gonna lock myself in the panic room. After that.
Yeah. Where's Kristen Stewart? Get in here.
Oh, Kristen Stewart's got to pass into my panic room. That's for sure. No, because I want to ask her about fucking Crimes of the Future.
Oh, is Cronenberg as weird as he think he is? Yeah, of course he is. Yeah.
It's like, what was going through your head when you decided I'm going to play this character like a horny squirrel? Yeah. Like,
did is you, Brandon there?
Did you meet Brandon? Is he tiny and adorable? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
we lost this episode minutes ago. I'm just going to throw that out there. We might not be done, but we are cooked. Yeah. That's for sure.
Fork it. Yeah, fork it. I mean, we are cooked. Yeah.
We're like my dad. We don't, you know, we have the ThermaPen one that I bought him for Father's Day, but instead of using that, he's going to cut the steak open on the grill and pull it apart and look on the inside of
dad,
it.
Dad, it's too late.
And then let it cook for another 15
dad,
minutes.
Dad, you fucked it up. It's done. Now
boy,
it's,
boy. Stick a fork in that salt in the swing and it's done.
There we go. Dire Straits. We're done. We're out.
Man, I don't know if that's the cut, but something before that might be. I don't know that we need the last 5-ish minutes of that. But
I think Seth's editing this one. Pretty sure everything's staying in, baby.